draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else. Your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Sister Esther, Sister Rachel, Sister Olivia. Sister Esther does a good job on that piano. Plays really well. Both Esthers do. Amen. Let's take up our offering, Brother Mark. Let's sing page 70 in the spiral book. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. For he's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, he's everything, he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. For he's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. One more time. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. For he's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me. Give me oil. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Just give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. One more time. Oh, give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Just give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Keep me burning to the break of day. And I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. I will sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Well, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Well, it's not by might, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to go ahead and have Brother Wade come out. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Holy,
high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. This is a victory to be here. And we're going to claim the victory. Amen. Good to be here. Good to be back. Thanks to all of you for persevering and holding on while we took a little time off. Brother Luis, Brother Bob, Brother Aaron, all the ones that took over and helped us keep everything going while we took a few minutes of time off. And where's Bob? Bob in the back? He's going down. I see him going down during this. So as I was saying, we're not thanking Bob no more for anything. No. They did a really fine job. We sure appreciate them. Give them a good hand. We sure enjoyed taking a little bit of time off and doing some stuff. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember all the announcements. Remember also June 16th, Brother Keith will be here. That's not this coming weekend, but the next weekend. And then the men that are going to the Father's Day trip. We're going to leave Sunday after second service, and then we will be there until Tuesday. Everybody turn and look toward the hallway. Thank you. Did you shake that up before you brought it? Okay, thank you. You just want to keep it really cold. That's what it says, I want to keep it really cold. And where's Julie at today? Think the refrigerator's working fine, so now we can put some cold water in there. We won't need you no more. You can just do whatever else you need to do. So. But anyway, if you're going to come and stay, sign up. Even if you're going to just come for the Low Country Boil, which will be on Monday evening, if you're just going to come for that, put your name down so that we'll know how much to fix for all of you that are not staying, but for the ones that wants to come and participate Monday with the eating of the food, then you're sure welcome. Would like for you to come. Also, the sisters are getting some stuff together. I think June and them, you can talk to her about that. So good to be here. Good to be back in the saddle again. Let's turn to Revelations 8 and get started again. This will be the seventh seal, part 3. We're going to stay a little bit on the shout, review a little bit, and then we're going to go to the voice. I saw something last night about the voice, and I want to try to maybe bring it out. Also, remember, just keep us in your prayers. We're leaving, you know, July 19th. We're going out to Arizona for about 4 days, have meetings out there with Brother Chris Long. He said tell everybody hello, actually. And we got to call Brother Jewel and see how he's doing. We'll call him during the week. So Revelations 8, verse 1. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly deem it a privilege to be back home and among our family that we've all grew up with, Lord, and our friends in the Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I pray, Lord, that you would come among us, Lord, in a special way this afternoon. Lord, just give everybody supernatural understanding. Give us all revelation, Father, because that's what we thrive on. The bride in the end time has to have revelation to make it through. Father, you're the only one that can do the revealing. So, Father, you do the speaking today that it will be made so plain that it will be made known to each individual in this building. And, Father, as Brother Dale has been preaching on the new birth, Lord, I pray that that will become a manifestation in someone's life. Be a manifestation in all of our lives. That we'll know that we know that we know that you dwell in our heart. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes and the crazy things we do in life. Lord, we pray that you would just forgive those. Lord, draw us closer to you, Father, as the day approaches. We draw our families together and bind our hearts together in you, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are getting older, that need a touch in the body, Brother Al, Brother Dick, all the different ones, Sister Johnny, Brother Darty, Lord, Sister Jean, we miss them being here every service. Lord, I pray that you just give them a supernatural touch today, Father. Lord, just give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What a prayer. For thine is the glory forever and ever, Lord. Amen. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now let's read John 19:30. I'm going to continue reading this one, and maybe it'll strike home that this is kind of what we're talking about as we were talking last Sunday about the shout. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's read the last one, Ephesians 4:30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as we have been through going through the seals, we find out that each seal had a symbol, each seal had a scene, each seal had a part. Each seal, we've been through it for a year. We've been through the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal, and now into the seventh seal, where now we come up to a time where there's no symbol. There's no motion. There's no voice. There's no, it's just silence in heaven for the space of a half of an hour. And as I said before, I could bring the drawing board up here, but you can't write anything on it. According to what the Bible says, there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. So you're going to have to just leave that blank because there was no symbol. There was no movement. Brother Brown said there was no movement because one move would give away the secret. All right. So we got to do something. As I was telling them downstairs this morning, what's come to me on this seventh seal is that if we look at the first seal, and that pertains to you and I in the spiritual form, right? Yeah. We look at the second seal, it pertains to you and I in a spiritual form, right? Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all the way up. Now we've come to the seventh seal, and then what have we done? What have we done? We've made it, Brother Branham's got to come back. We've made it, it ain't open, somebody's got to come and open it. We've made it, I say we, not us, but I mean the message people have made it everything. They've made it the cloud. They've made it the seven thunder virtues, where seven men with seven voices have got, and they're all dead. So they're not doing us any good. I mean, really, come on. So they've made it everything but what it is. And it's just what I read you. If there's only one seal, and the seventh seal is the completion, remember that's God's complete number, is seven, then what and where is that seventh seal? It's not in heaven. It's not in a denomination. It's not in a car or a boat or a cloud. Sure, those were symbols. Those were things that helped us along, that helped us to get clarity about what was going on. But they've made it everything in the world, but the only thing that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The seventh seal is not one person, it is the bride. Now sure, you say, well, why'd you take Christ out? Well, Christ is one person, but he's a many-membered body. I mean, where in the world, why would you have a shout with nobody to hear what's going on? Why would you have a voice if there was no contact? I mean, you know, come on, people. Guy told us one time, remember, he said, well, it was me, said the most intelligent conversation he ever has is with himself. Yeah. Right? I agree with that. So, but it's kind of boring to have a conversation with yourself. Have you ever argued with yourself? It's much better to argue with somebody else, though. Right? Okay. So you got, in other words, it takes two. You got to have a voice, and then you got to have somebody to respond to that voice. Negative or positive. Either way. All right. Same way with here. In speaking, we must have something that's said so that there can be a response. So as looking at this seventh seal, people have made it everything in the world, but what it is, it's Christ living in a bride, doing the same things he did when he was here the first time. That's just about the simplest thing I can say to you, because if seal 1 through 6 was the plan of redemption, seal 7 can't be something way part away from that. It's got to be the completion of that same plan. Because you started with one church age and you get to 7 church ages, completes the Gentile journey. There Paul says the mystery of the Gentiles. We'll read it a little bit later. Where he says the mystery of the Gentiles there in Colossians, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The problem is we have many times, and I'm going to keep saying it and keep saying it, is that we got Christ over here and us over here. You say, no, he's dwelling inside here, but you still got two people. They can't be but one person living there. And you say, well, now it's God and you together as persons. I thought that word vulcanized means that whatever the material was, it slapped up against the material, that same exact material, and it intertwines so well till there's no way you can pull it apart. And I'm telling you, that's what the plan of redemption is. It's not that God come down and he purified your soul and then he went off somewhere and sent you a second person or sent you a third person. It's him. It's that same guy. It's that same man that walked the shores of Galilee. So we must keep that, because remember too, and like we were talking about before, about people, and I say some people probably in the message, the reason they preach the way they do about redemption of the body, they just don't think there's enough redemption in this message for that. Well, I promise you one thing, if the seals do not open in a supernatural way to you sitting here today, I'm not talking about somebody off somewhere else, I'm talking about today, if the seals are not open to you in the same form that we're bringing it to you, then it's a mystery to you. That don't make you the mystery, that makes it a mystery to you. And you will say, how can this word change my mortal body? That will be a question in your mind. That has been a question all the way down through the church ages. Because remember, the prophet of God tells us, he says they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they couldn't get completely pulled apart from what? From a denominational idea. We were talking about some things last night. A lot of things that you hear in denomination is tradition. You say, well, the Catholic Church does that. Well, that's mama whore. Her daughters are just doing what she's doing. They're taking the tradition that mama's walking on the streets of gold right now. She's in glory with Jesus. Well, that's not true. And that hell's eternal. And we were talking about suicide last night. The different things, you know, thank God for a prophet. But if we would have looked in the Bible, we would have seen that Saul, of course, all of them go to Saul about Saul killed himself and he's You know, everybody that, have you ever been anywhere where somebody, like especially a Baptist, does a funeral and the person commits suicide? Man, they just stumble all over themselves. They don't know how to handle it because their tradition tells them that there is no way that person is going to heaven. He was not a Christian. He's going to hell. Well, now we know that's exactly false. Brother Branham tells us it's false, but you know what? The Bible tells us that it's false. Because they always go back to Saul. Number one, Saul didn't kill himself. He tried. But Brother Branham tried to kill himself twice. But Saul tried to kill himself. The little boy came by and killed him. But if Saul was in hell, Samuel was in hell. The prophet Samuel was brought up the day before from paradise. And he told Saul, tomorrow you'll be with me. So wherever Samuel was, that's where Saul's going. Right. To make a very real point, you and I are going to see Saul in glory. Amen. You and I are going to see God's anointed. Saul was one of God's anointed prophets. Now that's according to the Bible and according to what David said. David said, don't you touch that man. Because look, David could have killed him several times. Several times he could have killed him, and he didn't. But you hear that long enough. Now, what I'm saying about people in the message, you hear it long enough that there's not enough redemption for this body, and we got to wait. Number one, everybody falls back on, we got to wait till somebody comes back and speaks us a new body. That's basically your tent doctrine, is that Brother Branham's got to come back and speak us a glorified body. Well, I don't see that. I don't agree with that, and I'm promising you it ain't going to happen. If we don't get what he's already said and become that now, I don't care if Jesus himself brings a tent and puts it out here. If you're not ready, you're not going to go. You're not going to be there. So we got to get ready now. Lazy people wait on other stuff. We can't wait on this. We can't force this thing, but you know what? We can get right in rhythm. Remember the bride, the review of the bride, Brother Brown said they were all in rhythm, and he said they started to get out of step. Now, it didn't make them non-bride. They were just getting out of step. And he said, get back in line. What? That voice came from where he was to them. Get back in line. Remember? And then he came back into this dimension. So that's what he was telling, but get back in line. What? Listen to good preachers and good teachers and good good Sunday school teachers and all the different things. I was thinking this morning, man, how fortunate we are, but how unfortunate a lot of people are that have to sit under things like that. I mean, how would you be sitting in a message church and you're sitting there for years and a preacher just says, there's not enough redemption for your body? Well, where's your mind going to go? Where is your hope and your aspiration of I wouldn't even study. I just say, I got the Holy Ghost and I'm in a message church and I just believe God sent a prophet. Don't cut my hair. Well, me, cut my hair. But don't put on makeup and all these different things, you know. And you just sit there and run that around in your brain. For 40 years, that's why we're still here. It's just sitting there running do's and don'ts around in our brain. But they've not studied. They've not had somebody to teach them that this is the total plan of redemption. Brother Branham, let me just read this. Don't bring it up, because I'm going to read it again, because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But listen. He's talking about the shout and his different things. I'll find it. Just a second. Well, you know what? I'll start the message and then we'll get to it. But Brother Brown was talking about, he said, it's not in the years of preparation. It's not in the healing campaign. You've heard that many times before. It's not. That wasn't the prophet's message. These seals were his message. So if you want to get the prophet's message, you got to hear these seals. If you want to hear what our prophet was not sent to us to help us live better lives. That was taught from Pentecost, all the different ones. I mean, come on. When you come up to John Wesley, where, you know, even drinking tea was had no value, so he said, let's don't do it, because he come under that part of sanctification. Now, But now Luther could drink a beer and smoke a pipe, but now Wesley didn't. So you see God moving up further, bringing more revelation. Then you got the Pentecostals, which took it to the other extreme and made them wear long sleeves and no jewelry, and they just went over to the other side. But there's always a middle of the road. And that's what Brother Branham, he come and brought them back to the faith of the fathers, restored back what the gifts and all those things, and then he brought his message in 1963, 64, and 65. And that was the message that he was to bring, and that's our message. I mean, really, we should have been living right, a good Christian life, if you were a Christian before you heard of the message. If you were a Christian before you heard the message. You should have been living that Christian life, because this message doesn't make you a Christian. If you're a Christian, you believe this message. I was telling them downstairs, and I'll tell you too, while we're all here. Of course, the ones that are not here is not going to hear it. But where is our zeal? If you don't know any more today than you knew 10 years ago, if you're just coming to church, and I believe, and you know, like I said, some of y'all's already made church a one-shot deal on Sunday anyway, so Brother Bram said, you can't wait for the doors of this church to open to get in here. Not to, and how many of you say, oh, it's Sunday, I got to set that whole day aside to go to church? See, that's never been part of my Lord and Mom and Dad, and we went to church when we were Baptists. Right. Both services. And on Wednesday night. Right. The Bible says, much more as the day approaches, you should be gathered together in the sanctuary and church. Amen. So what are we doing? We're trying to get this big great seventh seal brought to us, and we can't even be here to hear it. No. So, you know, and I'm glad, you know, Brother Dale's hitting me. You got to be born again. Being born again. So you say, well, no, I've been born again 40 years. He's talking to them young people. Well, you better be able to get you a little bit while you're at it. Because it's lamp trimming time. It's sharpening up time. It's time for us to maybe get back in the furrow and plant the right, you know, right seeds being planted. It's just you and I got to take what? Irrigate it. We got to water it. Washing of the water by the word. All right? So much more as the day approaches, we see more people falling away. But we see the ones that are here, the ones that are now here, they're solid. They're getting more solid, getting more solid, getting more solid. Because listen, this is a great shaking time. When these seals open, Brother Branham said at the end of the seventh seal, he said thousands of my friends will leave. Right? Why? Because he's bringing a message that nobody understood. Thousands of my friends, he had to stand alone. And then my Lord, when he preached marriage and divorce, I think he might have said hundreds. He said thousands when he started preaching marriage and divorce. So you see that what the word does, the word is a divider and a separator. It will divide whether you like it or not. So the Holy Ghost, remember, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of the word. So you should know more. Not just by letter, but this thing should come, the essence. We were talking about this a little bit this past week. The essence of the message is what we're not getting. Right. The essence is not quotes, because you can stand up here and I can take quotes, and I can make all two lords, and I can make a polygamy, and I mean, the Bible's the same way. But if you get the essence of this message, you'll be here every Sunday. You'll be here every time the doors open. And you'll not just be here because somebody said you need to be here. You'll be here because you want to be here. That's the difference. It's being here because you have a desire to be here. If you have no desire to be here, then that's who Brother Dale's talking about. People that ain't got the new birth. If you don't have a desire to be here, you don't have the new birth. I'm just going to make it that plain. You just are not born of the Spirit of God. You might have an anointing every once in a while, but you are not born of the Spirit of God if you don't like coming to church and listening to what God has to say. Even though it may be a bore in me, doesn't matter. It's what the Word says. Right. The Word says for us to assemble ourselves together. The Word said, it didn't say. Now, see, then here we go with this laundry list. Well, I've got this and I've got that. Sure, I love to take vacations. You love to take vacation. If you take a vacation on Sunday, that's fine. But just to be out because your cat's sick. What was the old saying? Your cat's got diarrhea? the cat's got diarrhea, you stay home with it. No, if the cat's got diarrhea, you put it up somewhere and you come on to church. Pray for it. Amen? But let's get into this and quit. But now, why, listen, I was thinking this other day, we're bringing this seventh seal in. Why is everything coming full circle back around to the very beginning? Brother Dale's bringing back the very beginning of justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you know why? Because I've been bringing you the furtherment of it. Now, if you've got that inside of you, you understand what I'm saying? If you have listened to the voice, not me, but listen to what God has told you for the past year, then when God comes back around and picks up here and brings you through, it should be like that Roman candle. It should be like, well, that's why that says that, and that's why this is happening, and that's why this is this way, and that's why the scripture says what it does. That's truly, that will tell you if you're born again. If you're just sitting here because God sent a prophet and you like being here because of the person beside you, then you need to do something else. Amen. Yeah, Brother Aaron, but tell, Brother Joe's not even looking at you. Leave me alone. But really, what have we come to do? We assemble together to listen to what God has said and to bring the pieces of this puzzle together. Because why am I saying this? The greatest mystery is that God is living in you. The world can't see it. They wonder why you act the way you do. And if they don't wonder why you act the way you do, let's go back to being justified and being sanctified and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if the world can't tell you're different, you got a problem. Because this world is so totally contrary to the new birth. They don't even know how to get it. Okay? If they don't know how to get it and you sit there and you are the way you are and you do the things that you do, then you're going to be a mystery to them. So there is your mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And not just Christ sitting in there not doing anything. It's Christ in you doing a work. As I've always said, the reason, come on people, can you not, when you read the Bible, when you read the Bible, the man, the very man that wrote the Bible, supposed to be inside of you, he's not locked down in your stomach. He's looking through the same eyes you look through. And he's looking back, and that's why Brother Branham said that he'll say, the Holy Ghost will say amen to the word every time. You know why he'll say amen to the word? Because he's the one that wrote it. I will say amen to everything that I said that's correct. Why? Because I'm the one that wrote it. So the guy that wrote this is inside of you, and you look down and see that, and you, something's got to quicken inside of you. If it doesn't, then start at justification. Start somewhere. Everybody all right? But that's what the seals are to me. It's the whole plan of redemption. Well, what is the plan of redemption? It's taking you from a sinner. You're not going to like this. To God. It's taking you from a sinner to God. Because ye are God's. And when God lives in you, I got some quotes. I was looking them up while when Brother Luis called me out. Look up joint heir. You look up what Brother Brown said about joint heir. Because joint heir, if you're an heir and you're a joint heir, whatever Christ gets, whatever Jesus Christ gets, that's what you get. Amen? That's why Brother Ram says right here in Revelation, the first quote, we read it last Sunday or Sunday before, down at the red letter part. He breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. Now, what is our inheritance? The opening of the seals. That's my inheritance. Amen. I've got the new birth. I've got that inheritance. I've got eternal life. I've got part of the city. I've got that future home inside of me. But you know what? I'm still in a journey. Because this thing's not redeemed yet. This thing right here, this flesh. But he breaks the seals, reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited. becoming our kinsman redeemer, and freely gives it out to us. It all belonged to him. Hey, listen. If he wanted to, he could have walked out of that tomb. Well, he wouldn't even have to come get on the cross, but he could have walked out of the tomb, took his glorified body, and went right to glory and just stayed there. But that was not his purpose. His purpose is not to dwell alone. His purpose is to have sons and daughters, and the only way to have sons and daughters is to go back inside of them and genetically change that inside person to be the seed gene of God, not the one that your mom and daddy brought. Now, we still have to walk in this shell, but he's fixing to have these. He had his shell changed. I'd like to read this right here to this brother. Freely gives it out. It belonged to him. He was the one who redeemed, but instead of keeping it, he gives it back to his people. Now, what did Jesus Christ inherit? He inherited eternal life in his body. He did not have when he was a baby, when he was 20, when he was 29, he did not have an eternal body. His body was dead. It was dying. He was only 30 years old and he looked 50. Alright? But when he came out of that tomb, that boy didn't look 50 anymore. He turned back to that same one that said, "Let there be light." And he was that young 20-year-old man. And that was the inheritance he inherited. And not keeping that inheritance, he gave it back to me and you. Eternal life. In the same body he walked on the earth with. He walked to that tomb. Sure, it had been changed. Sure, it had been changed, but it wasn't a different one. When he resurrected, that body laid dead in the tomb. He got back in that same body, people. He got back in that same body, and that theophany was not withheld. He totally went from the inside, and when it, just in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, he was a young man again. And those cells were firing on a different wavelength than they were before. They were firing on an eternal wavelength. That he didn't have to eat, but he could. He didn't have to drink, but he could. He could walk through that wall. He didn't have to open the door to go through. And that's the inheritance that you and I get. And listen, he didn't get it in another dimension.
Right.
He had to come back into this dimension to get that body.
Right.
So that's the same thing going to happen to you. If you pass away, you got to come from that dimension back into this dimension, go get that body, connect with it, and stand at a 20-year-old eternal body, not looking different,
right, but
looking the same. Folks, that's redemption. That's not replacement. Most people are preaching replacement. But you can't see the opening of these seals and see replacement. You take the total picture and you see redemption when you see these seals open. Amen? Instead of keeping it, he gave it back to his people. That's his love for us. Now look at number 2 in the breach. Now when we go break these seals, we're going to see it goes plumb back to Scripture all the way back. For each one of these seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery lays right here in these seals. All right? Let's don't go looking for a mystery anywhere else. Let's look for the mystery what? In the seals. For each one of these seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery lays right here in these seals. Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals. And the seals cannot be broke until this time. So it was all sealed up until what? The time that was appointed for it to break. Amen? Notice now, let's finish reading. Remember, the book is sealed. Remember Revelations 5, the book was sealed. But that wasn't in Revelations 10. Here's one. Here's this seal, then another one's wrapped, another one's wrapped. It's a book of redemption. And the whole thing together makes the book. And it's sealed with 7 seals. Being on the backside, because it's wound up. The seal mystery is on the inside. I've proved that to you by showing you the seal on the outside, and you can't see what's on the inside until the seal's broke. Talking about the horse riders. From Genesis to Revelation, a complete plan of redemption. Now listen, let me ask you a question. And we're going to talk about this when we do the shout and the voice and the trumpet, but I want to get you this in your mind. A complete plan of redemption for who? Or what?
Yeah.
Okay, a complete plan of redemption for what? Well, it's going to be the earth. Okay, that's part of it. But the complete plan of redemption is human beings that were born wrong, that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. It is the total plan to bring us back to the Garden of Eden condition before the fall.
Right,
now remember, we're getting all this from Christ as the mystery of God revealed. And Brother Brown said, if you miss it in the seals, he said, come to this message.
Right.
Which is Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, like I said before, where is Christ now? Christ is in you. So that makes you part of the mystery. A complete plan of redemption is revealed in these seven seals. Now, a complete plan of redemption, not partial. Man has got partial redemption since the day of Pentecost. They had partial redemption. It wasn't time for their body to be redeemed, but they had partial redemption because the inside man was redeemed, but the rest of them was not. Amen? God help us to get it. All right, let's read the next one. Number three. Now look what Brother Brown said in the rising of the sun. He said, the quickening power has come to us to open the seven seals. What was it? What was that? The intelligence of a man? No. It was a man with seventh grade education preaching the greatest sermon. He yielded himself so much to God till God spoke through that man.
Right.
And gave us the opening of those seals.
All right.
No, the quickening power of God. And as I said before, it says the quickening power of God foretold this would take place. Now, remember, during that whole week of the opening of the seals, there wasn't, you know, there were people being baptized in different things, probably a few people being healed, but what I'm saying is, if that was the greatest thing you ever worked under, it wasn't the healing campaign. It wasn't the raising of the dead campaign. It was the apex of the opening of the word campaign, which is the quickening power of God. Now, to have that quickening power of God, you can do these other things. But now remember, a man anointed with the Holy Ghost can raise the dead and be just as black on the inside. But we're talking about a man that was born again, that was a prophet of God, that yielded himself to God. And that quickening power was speaking to me and you. And it was not going through a denominational filter or going through even Brother Branham's own ideas. Because remember, Brother Branham's own ideas were wrong when it come to the seals.
Right.
Oh, we hate that, but if you want me to pull it up, I saw it the other day in the sixth seal or seventh seal. He said, this is way beyond what I thought. Way beyond what I was thinking. What? Man, this prophet's been on the scene for 40 years. And he said, this is way past what I thought.
Right.
Way past my own thinking. First seal, he was going back to his old notes to preach the White Horse Rider was the Mighty Conqueror. Which was totally wrong. But God is never wrong. We were talking about this morning where we were reading there in Hebrews where it talks about immutability. The immutability of God is unchangeable.
Right.
God can't even change his own word. And that's what I like. But now remember, the Bible says two immutable things. Because when that immutability comes inside of you, it makes you immutable. Remember, Brother Brown said, when two omnipotents meet? Listen, God's not even God without you. He's Elohim. He's not an object of worship. He was nothing before you came along. You say nothing? Yeah, he was just self-existing. He was Elohim. But the attributes, and that's what I see now, the more I see it now, is that's why you and I are in the stage and the age that we're in right now. You say, well, this is bad because of this. So what? God knew this is what was going to happen. This is not a secret to God. Like Brother Dale was saying, the man said, well, God didn't know if she was going to die last night, so he baptized her. Well, you know, God knew that before the foundation of the world. If I'd have been there, I'd have said, dude, God even knew you was going to say that before the foundation of the world. Right? So the immutability of God, but what we're looking at now is we're looking at that transferred to me and you. two omnipotence. You got immutability. You got, in our human mind, we can't be immutable. We change all the time. I've got stuff I got to do tomorrow, and I'll guarantee you one of them 10 items is going to change. But with God, it's not. And with God's Word, if you become the Word of God, can you change God's Word? You have to yield to what that is. That's why I said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, how are you going to yield to it? Because there's nothing to pull you into that. And Brother Branham, there with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being a prophet where God spoke straight to him, not through anybody else, but straight person to person. There's no way he could have made a mistake on the seals. He even tried to answer a question wrong on the sixth seal. He did answer that question wrong. And God said, whoa, stop. You're not going to make another mistake again. You're going to correct that, and then we're going to go forward. Amen? So that's what you and I are looking at. The days of presuming are over. The days of all these presuming of, well, I don't know if that brother so-and-so's right, or I don't know if sister so-and-so's right. We got to go by what the Word says. Glory. Let the word decide. Amen. And divide. Right. Because it will. It will divide the joint and the marrow. Glory. And the soul and the spirit. Everybody okay? Amen. But listen, he's the one that opened those seals. Let's read the rest of that right quote. He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. Now who is he? He is Christ. Keep scrolling on up. We're going to the rising of the sun. Go to number. Right there, that's good. He is the one who opened the seals. He is those seals, for the whole Word of God is what? Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. What is the opening of the seals then? Revealing Christ. And where is Christ?
Right.
Because look, now we're going to get into something here in a minute about the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, how many of you picture in your mind God coming from up here to here? You just did. Didn't you? Shake your head, yeah. He's been here the whole time. He came on the day of Pentecost. He descended on the day of Pentecost. He didn't go back up. He stayed in the people. But what happened was, is now He's given us more revelation of Word so that we can see exactly what was going on, because we can't be presuming. The days of I think is over.
Right.
And you say, well, now that's just human. Yes, it's human beings, but if you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, I thought the Bible said he would lead you and guide you into all truth, not part, all truth.
Right.
Amen? So that's what people are looking for. And you know what? People are looking for truth. Some know where to find it. Some don't. But you know what? You have to be led of God. And you can't be led of God and do things wrong. I mean, you know, as far as in the word wise. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, Jesus Christ preached a perfect word when he was here for 3.5 years, right? He made zero mistakes as the Word. Now, humanly, he probably did. But when he spoke, that was the eternal Word of God. Because that's what you and I are going to be judged by, right? So if there's a mistake in that, then we can walk up to the white throne judgment. We don't have to, but if you walk up to the white throne judgment and say, now God, you made a mistake right there. What am I saying? If that was Christ and he was speaking and now it's Christ in you, what are we doing? What are we doing? We've got to speak the same thing he spoke. We've got to be under that same anointing that he was under. All right? Everybody getting so far? Look at number 5. No, let's go to number 4 on the seventh seal. Let's read this. Number 4. Now he gets ready to read it. We must remember that this seventh seal is the end of time. We got into this a couple Sundays ago. It's the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up of the plan of redemption, And let me ask you one more time. When Brother Brown talks about the plan of redemption, you're not thinking horses and cows and trees, right? The plan of redemption is for humans. It's for people. The complete plan of redemption will be revealed and it will be manifested in a group of people. First, and then all the other world. Go back to the sixth seal and listen. The sixth seal is a purging time. But it's because you and I are gone. But when you and I come back, we're going to be what we're supposed to be had there not been a fall. Coming back in the millennium with Christ. To what? Rule and reign for 1,000 years. The sealed up of the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It is the end. It is the end of the struggling world. Don't we all? Listen, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to come to church. But look, you got to overcome something. We are overcomers. Overcomers of what? I mean, really? Overcomers of what? Ourself. Ourself. Overcome ourself. But it's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Over in Revelation 10. Roll it on up and keep. Everything runs out in this time. The end of the, at the end of this seventh seal. So as I said before, the seventh seal opened in a threefold manner. Has everybody got that? Say amen. You should have read the book. There's three things that happen, just like there's three things happen in the sixth seal. There's three things happen in the seventh seal. And it's just really strange that three things happened in the Christ is the mystery of God revealed. There was three parts. All God was, he poured in Christ. Christ in the church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. So you see, three is what? Three is perfection. Seven is completion. All right? Everything runs in this time at the end of the seventh seal. What are you saying? I'm saying, look, everybody's looking for this great event that is just going to be, there's the seventh seal. Well, that woke half of you up. Let me do that again. Get the other half. But not really. That's what we're thinking. Our thinking is that this thing is so great that it's just going to fall on my house one day. No, it's a process. If redemption's a process, then the seventh seal's a process. Amen. It's a threefold process. Right. We'll get into that later on, a little bit later. But see, at the end of this seventh seal. So in other words, it's not going to be, here's the seventh seal, folks, this is it. And now I've got it all drawn out on my chart. You see my chart? Tony, don't look at me like that. You see that chart? See it again? That's what the seventh seal is. Watch. That's what the whole mystery is. Because some of you are going, that's crazy. It's got to be you and me. Christ is not here in person. And if it's revealing Christ, boy, it's just 1 + 1 = 2. It's us. It's God working through a group of people coming to the greatest plan of redemption that's ever been known, but it's coming to an end of that. Listen, when me and you come to a change of the body, that ends our redemption. Tell me what else is left. Tell me. Silence in heaven. Right? That's the end for me and you. Now remember, that's just... But remember, we come to an end. Remember, let me try to explain it like this. You go to a play or you watch a movie or something, and you watch that movie and you see the movie and then it comes up and says, the end. Now, do you just erase that out of your mind? And no, when it comes to an end, you see every bit, you remember every bit of that story.
Right?
So is it the end? No, it's the beginning.
Right.
It's the beginning of the thoughts you had and this great plan of redemption. It's been playing itself out since the book of Genesis. And you and I are standing here looking back at that play. But it's not silence in heaven. It's showing you that this whole thing is for you and me. Because when God said, let us make man in our own image, folks, when we stand here with in a body change, that is the image he was looking at back in eternity.
Exactly right.
And that is the end, but what does it do? It ends our time, but it makes us eternal. Body, spirit, and soul. So let's don't look at the end as an abrupt stop and nothing else goes on. No, always when there's end of something, there's a beginning of something else. You know, it's, you see Hopi's baby back there. You see that's, well, she had an end of her labor, right? Thank God it was an end of that labor. All your sisters, thank God for the ending of that labor. But what was it? It was a beginning of a different life. Same way when you knew birth. Your old life ended, right? You died. Well, you're supposed to have died. Your old nature died. And when it died, that was the end of that old you. That's what brother Jesus was telling brother Nicodemus. Brother Jesus was telling brother Nicodemus, well, hey, if we're joint heirs, then we gotta be brothers. Brother Jesus was telling brother Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you're gonna end. Cause you know what? If you don't get born again, you will have an end. You'll go to hell and burn for whatever and whatever and whatever and whatever, but you will come to an end. But now, if you're in Christ, you can't come to an end. You come to the end of a certain journey, but that's just the beginning of your eternal part. Amen? To me, that's wonderful. That tells us then there is an end of the old and a bringing in of the new. Now, we started our journey, our Christian journey, though, and now that journey's got to come to an end. Earthly. Because you're eternal now in your soul, but not in your body. But when we come to this great opening of the seventh seal, then your body is going to catch up with your soul. And it's going to end what mom and daddy brought on the earth. That's going to come to an end. But coming to an end, it's not going to be you're going to go just... No. You become to the beginning of your eternal life. When we take a body change, that will begin our eternal life. You say, you can't begin eternal life. Explain it any other way.
Right.
Somebody explain it any other way. Because what I'm looking at right now is not eternal. But we're working to that. So that one day I hope in this congregation I look out here and we all have a glorified body. That was the end of what I saw before. But it didn't make you another different person. You're the same person. You just ended that life and begun a new one. Amen? To me, that's the whole seventh seal. Same way with Christ. Christ started his life with not an eternal body. Jesus Christ started his life without an eternal body. But what did his journey take him to? If he was the seventh seal, and not was, he still is, then his journey is what we're going to have to take. And what is the way he started his way? You say, oh no, he was born not, he came through a womb just like you did. Amen? He wasn't born in sin like we were, but he came through the same way we did. Started as a baby, come up to 30 years old. So that was his journey. And at the end of his journey, his earthly life ended when they put him in a tomb. But see, Satan and all the other world thought that was it forever. We're not going to ever see this guy again. We're going to seal it up. But that was just the beginning of us. That was the beginning of the bride of Jesus Christ. Because there was no other bride before that. So now you and I are going to come through a journey. And we're going to come to an end. Some have already been put in the tomb. Some are not going to have to. Because Christ has already done what he's done. And I'll read it to you in just a minute. When he came out of that tomb, he redeemed your body. He redeemed your body when he came out of that tomb. And you and I, if we are recipients of that, then that's what this great seventh seal is. It's an end of that old part and a beginning of a new that nobody's ever done before. No one. Even Jesus Christ had to physically die. There's somebody not going to physically die. Because this is going to open up in such a way to the inside is going to take over the outside. Now watch. Let's go to number 5. Real quick. We got communion today. Number 5. Seventh seal. And there's 3 great things that goes with it. One unfolded today or yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it is an unknown language. Now we're going to get into that, but I want you to just give you a little thought. Me and Brother Dale was talking about the other day. One unfolded yesterday. The other unfolded today. And there's one thing I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. Now those are 3 things. Right? One opened yesterday, which opened to it actually opened to him while he was on the sixth seal. Okay? Then one today, and then there's one I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. We'll get to that in the future, but remember there's 3 things. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. Now, what's the third pull? It's the opening of the Word. It's not this and that and the other. It's not fishing or a tent and all this other stuff. It's the opening of the Word. That's what he said. Amen? It's the opening. It's the apex. I was thinking that while Brother Dale was preaching, you look right here and you see this at the top. Well, what did Brother Brown talk about? He talked about that magnet. What was that magnet doing? It was pulling up.
Right.
Up. This was metal. And this has got to be metal. You got to be the same substance.
Right.
He's coming back after himself. He's not coming back after you.
Right.
He's coming back after himself. So it's going to magnetize. And he's going to what? Pull us up. That's why I said, if there's not a pull in our life for us to want to study more and come to church more than we did before, then where's the pull? What's pulling me is what's inside.
Glory.
Oh yeah, there's a million other things that could pull you away, different things. You know that. We're human. But when we come down to one thing of our focus is I don't want to die. I want to take a body change. I don't care if I get 99. Sorry, some of you are going to be 159, but it doesn't matter. To Abraham, it didn't matter. To you, it shouldn't matter. We gotta just keep going on and keep going on, all right? So that's my heart's desire, is that somebody will get this. And it'll take you to change the body. And it will not come from false word. False word can't change your body. What brought Jesus out of that tomb was who he was. Who was he? He was God in human flesh. Who are you? God in human flesh. All right? And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. It just shows us from God. It fits exactly in the promises from the end of the message. You notice, for the end of time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all the 6 seals, but it don't say nothing about the 7th. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. What's the secret according to the Bible? What is it? Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in Brother Branham, which transferred to, no, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Everybody all right? Say amen.
Amen?
Everybody okay?
Amen.
All right. Now let's read this next one just for your reading enjoyment. Brother Brown said seven is God's completed number. So we know it had to come to the seven for us to be here. Now listen, you're here for a purpose. You're here under that completion. Because you're alive and you're listening. Listen, it's got to take somebody to receive the word. Not just somebody that preaches the word. It's got to be somebody to receive the word. And you become the word as you receive the word. That's what I mean. If you've not received more word, if you've not if you've not received more word and you, not that you, no way, that's not mean that, well, I used to quote 15 scriptures, now I can quote 18. The devil's got you beat. He can quote the Bible back and forth.
Right.
But he can never get a revelation of what that thing says.
Right.
You can get a revelation of what that says.
Right.
And the revelation is the essence of the message that we're looking for.
Right.
All right? Amen? Is that all right?
Amen.
So now let's read 1 Thessalonians. Let's get to our thought just for a few minutes. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain... Who am I talking to? We which are alive and remain. He's talking exactly to me and you.
Right.
You see how focused that can be when you read the word of God? That's not speaking to the denominational world. Sorry. That's speaking to the bride of Christ that is alive. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So that must be what we're doing now. We're preventing them. They're still asleep. For the Lord himself, and as I told you just a few minutes ago, you're looking at that scripture and you're going, well, that's the Lord is descending. Now, look at this word right here. So if he's in you now and he's descending, there's two selves. Huh? There's two selves. And Brother Brown said, if you got two, one's who? The devil. And one's God. So let's don't look at this great ball of the Lord himself shall descend. He's already in you. But remember, the dissension is the mystery. The mystery is he's here already. This is for everybody around. You getting it? He's already here. Listen, he's not descending from... You know, we don't have to make a hole in the ceiling for him to... The Lord himself shall descend so that you can understand him. Not that he's not here. But he's descending so that you can understand him. You know what? You take a professor in college. Man, I had one that he was a... Dr. Lopez, good grief. He was Cuban, smoked them big old Cuban cigars about that long. But he would tell you stuff about chemicals and compounds, and he was way out yonder in the heavens. But you know what? By the end of the hour, he had descended to where I could understand what he's talking about. Anybody get what I just said? He was so, and he did. He had all this huge knowledge of all these different compounds. But when he got finished, it was laughable how simple he made it. He was a suit, and to me that's a point of a good teacher. Because he had to know this stuff. But he descended down in what? His voice. He descended in a voice that you know what? Didn't change his person. Same teacher that was up there before. Same guy that I saw Monday through Friday. Second period of every every day that we knew Dr. Lopez was going to start up here. But when he got done, he'd be down here because the next day you had a pop quiz on what he had said, talked about the day before. How many of you kids, teachers do that? They give you a little pop quiz. Well, we'd all make 100. He made it so simple. But we knew he was going to start up here. But we knew he was going to end up down here. So now pull that back up. So the Lord shall descend from heaven. Not moving position. I'm going back one more time. This hit me hard last night. For the Lord himself. Right. Now, if himself is up here and he's coming, he's not in you. But if he's in you, it's the same self. But what he's doing is he has descended in his word so that you can understand him more. You can understand him better. Because remember, Brother Brown says when you got born again, you got everything you needed for your journey. But now you didn't stop at the start at the top of that pyramid. Because you still had a temper. You still needed patience. We still needed godliness, knowledge, virtue, and all these different things. We still needed that. But God descended so that we can understand him. And then what does he do? He takes you right back up to where he's at. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, we talked about the shout last Sunday, or Sunday before last. Now let's read what Brother Brown said. We'll come back to this in a minute. I want you to see what this voice is. Now I want you to notice great things taking place here. Just a few minutes. The word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there's three things. So now if there's three things that Brother Brown saw in the seventh seal, there's three things in the threefold purpose of the sixth seal, seventh seal, Christ the mystery of God revealed, and now we got a threefold purpose of the Lord himself appearing. Now from verse 13 to the 16th verse, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Now remember, where does he appear? Not in a physical form until the millennium. Where does he appear? Take your finger and do like this. Ah, that's okay. Quickly now, so we can close. The first thing happens, notice a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Let's read it now, see if it's right. For the Lord himself, 16th verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Now, I'll promise you that people sitting there listening to that sermon did the same thing. Well, God's up here and he's got to descend down here. See, that's where revelation now, we've got a furtherment on that revelation that he's always been inside of you. He's descended in his word. Because watch, I'll show you in a second. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Right. Now I want to ask you a question. What good is a shout? Kind of like being in the bathroom taking a shower all by yourself and there's nobody in the house and you just sing. And you know what? You sing like whatever the greatest singer in the world is, right? Man, you can carry a tune and you know you clap for your own self. But what good is that? What good is it? That's what I'm telling you. We got to see these that he's not descending to us. He's descending in us. There's a big difference. He's not descending to us. He's descending in us. All right? Now look, three things happen, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. And even with a voice, you can be the greatest orator in the world and you can sit up there and you can give a speech for 3 hours if the auditorium's empty. What have you done? But see, God's not that way because remember, his word will not return void. He has to have somebody to listen and respond to what's being said. Three things has to happen before Jesus appears. Now shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth. Right. Now look. The message. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. He connects that right to the bride. The message bringing forth the bride. That's what this message is for. It's not to bring forth another prophet. It's not to bring forth William Branham again. It's to bring forth a bride. Amen? Let's go to the next one. Should be the rapture. All right, look, the first thing, when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? The message. Now remember, the message didn't come from up there. The message came to us through a prophet that had the message inside of him. He was a messenger of the message. Huh? There's a shout. What is it? A message to get the people together. So it has to have a response. We've responded to that. Some responded by getting a new birth. Some responded by getting a new birth and growing in grace and knowledge. Some got it, received it, and keeps on moving and keeps on going and all the different things. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. That's what we're in right now. We're in lamp trimming time. We have oil. If you've got the new birth, you have oil. You have the lamp. You have heard the what? The voice of the bridegroom say, wake up. Because you are part of the five wise virgins. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was it? The seventh. Not the sixth. The seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamps. That's in people that think that you always was eternal. Because they've never been taught a new birth. Amen? We were talking about that last night, you know, as we were talking. And I'm not being critical of people. I'm just telling you. I'm critical because if they've got a congregation of people and that congregation of people is taking their word as the word, they're not going to change. You can only go as high as your pastor. So if this brother preaches that there's not enough redemption for your body, then people are never going to come to a place of having faith for a body change. You and I, we going to come to a body change because we got faith to come to a body change, because this message in this church is a body change. Amen? A resurrection and a body change. Everybody all right with that? Okay? But you just feel for the people. Rise and trim your lamp. Why? There was five foolish virgins that thought they were virgins. They just didn't have any oil. Why? They were taught wrong. Hello? They were taught wrong. That's the whole thing. Being taught right. It's lamp trimming time. We're in the seventh watch. The bridegroom call comes from where? Heaven? No, it comes from here.
Right.
I'll prove it to you in just a second. Let me go through this real quick. Don't worry about the other one. Let's go to Joshua. Remember, Joshua commanded the people saying, "Ye shall not shout." Not going by. Yeah, going by that one. Yeah, there you go. Good. When Joshua had spoken to the people, remember, Joshua commanded the people. They walked around that thing and didn't say a word, but you know what they were doing? They were doing what Joshua told them to do. And they were walking and wasn't saying a word. But you know what? They were doing something. Because God told them that last day, he said, you walk seven times around that city and don't say a word. Listen, the old saying is silence is maddening. Silence is maddening. Can you imagine a city as big as Atlanta with walls all up so high that they run chariot races around it and everybody's looking and there's this little group of people. And they go around one time. They don't say a word. They go around a second time. They don't say a word. They're just marching. You know, they're not over there sharpening their swords and getting their spear. They're marching. Third time, somebody's going, hey, how many times have we been around in here? Well, this is number four, I think. They walked around seven times and never said a word. Never said a word. Silence. But on that seventh time, Joshua commanded them to shout. And they did the shouting. It wasn't Joshua, it was the people. All right? So let's go to the next one. Brother Branham said 30 minutes of silence is not so bad when something's going on, but when something just stops for 30 minutes, yeah, seems like an eternity, he said. That would be maddening, though, to see just dead people walking in dead silence, and then all of a sudden in that seventh one, they just let her go, and whatever they're standing on falls out from under them. That's God showing you something. Now look. Now the rapture message, the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. Shout. A messenger getting the people ready. The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice. Now remember, Jesus is not here on this earth until the millennium.
Right.
But there will be a resurrection and a body change before we leave.
Right. Glory.
Okay? The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice, that a loud voice in St. John 11:38-44 that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, the shout, then the resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. The next is what? With a trumpet, a voice. He gets a little confused. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. That's the way it is. Now watch this. Now third thing is a trumpet, which always at the Feast of the Trumpets is calling the people to the feast. Now that will be the bride's supper. So this third thing, that trumpet is going to call us to what? The bride's supper, the lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. That's when we leave. The first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride. The ones that died back in the other ages, they're caught together. Now, who is that coming through? The bride. The voice of the resurrection will be in the bride. And it's the same voice that said Lazarus come forth. So, it can't be two people. All right, and the trumpet, the feast of the heavens and the sky. Why, that's the thing that takes place, friends. We're right there ready now. The only thing, the church coming out has got to lay before the sun to ripen. Look, I want you to read the rest of this. You're not blind people. I'm talking to you today. Paragraph 156. You're not blind people. You're sensible people. And if I stood here and said those things for prejudice, I say it because it's life. Because I'm responsible to God for saying it. And I must say it in my message. This is it right here. All the time knowing back there under healing and so forth like that was just to catch the people's attention. Knowing the message would come. Now that wasn't the message. The healing campaign wasn't the message. He just said it. I'm reading you what your prophet said. Knowing the message would come. And here it is. And them seven seals open, those mysteries and showing those things is what happened. I didn't know it. He does now.
Right.
Next one. Number 10. God of this evil age. Now look, watch this. This is where I'm really took too long at first, I guess. You listen only to one voice. My sheep know my voice. Now remember, it's the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. There's got to be a shout to gather us together, and then a voice to speak to us and through us. But what is his voice? Any man's voice is his word. So there's got to be a shout, right? To gather the people together, and that voice is a voice of the bride. A man's voice is his word.
Glory.
And this is it, the Bible, not one word to be added to or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger, they will not follow a denomination. Now let's look at number 11 real quick. 11 and 12 is what I want to get to. Watch this. What do you say in Malachi 4? Would restore. Restore back the original Pentecostal faith. Now look, this is what is the first part of his message. Back to the people with the same Pentecostal message, the same Pentecostal sign, the same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, the same teaching, everything exactly with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down the road down to Damascus. Amongst us today, not descending, amongst us today, doing the same thing he did in that day, uniting. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting. Uniting with the voice. Remember, I just read you about Brother Bram said a man's word is his voice. His voice is the word, right? So let's put that in there. Uniting with the voice. And the voice is God. And as the voice, as the bridegroom being the voice, and the bridegroom being the hearer of the voice, they come together in a union. They reunite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The word becomes you. You become the word. The voice becomes you. You become the voice. Jesus said, at that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. All I am, you are. And all you are, I am. And that day you'll know that I am the Father me and I and you and me. See, at that day. What day? This day. We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that. All right, let's read this last one and we'll be finished. It is the rising of the sun. Now notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the voice or the word. The mind that was in Christ was in you then. Yeah. I'm trying to show you that you, when you raised, when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. Right. We're going to believe what the prophet said? Okay. All right. We're going to believe what he said, right? When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. And also quickened to life with him, you are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thoughts. What? We weren't people running around, but when Jesus resurrected, we resurrected inside of him. Right. Amen? Right. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. That's in Romans 8. When are we going to start believing it? But God had saw all in him at the finish. When God looked down upon the body. Now watch. The spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now this is where a lot of people in the message say that Brother Branham means that Jesus just died a man. He didn't say he had to die a man. He said he had to die, comma, a man. Yeah. He had to die as a man. Right. What spirit left him? The anointing that was on him for his ministry and that he couldn't die. Right. We spoke on that many times before. The anointing that came on him at the River Jordan didn't make him God. But it sure gave him a ministry for 3.5 years that he could not be killed. Right. They tried to kill him many, many times. Right. But what happened, that same spirit left off of him in the Garden of Gethsemane so he could die as a human mortal man. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. Right. What? I'm not going to try to put words in Brother Brown's mouth, but what's he saying? God anointed that flesh so he couldn't die. He had to lift that spirit off of him, or lift that anointing off of him so he could die.
Right.
And he didn't. If he'd have went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of death. Can't kill God. And you still can't kill God. But he didn't have to do it. But remember, he went there with you in him.
Glory.
See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male, now the body. You read that again? Huh? Everybody awake? When God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. See? They are one same word, voice. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. There's no separation. You can't separate Jesus Christ from his bride. The same word, the same voice spoke of the groom, speaks of the bride.
Amen.
There's not two separate entities here. Let's stand to our feet. You say, Brother Wade, you're just making us too close. We have not made it close enough.
Right.
Because we, you and I, there's no way we can change our own body.
Right.
People have tried to substitute it by facelifts and paint and hairdo and whatever more. But God's going to change you back to a 20-year-old person. And it ain't, you know what? It ain't going to upset him. It ain't going to make him no less God. It's going to make him do exactly what he said he was going to do. And like Brother Brown said right there, whatever scripture speaks of the bridegroom also speaks of you, the bride. He descended what? In a bride. He's been here the whole time. But he's descending so that we can understand him. Through a shout to get the people together. You heard a shout one day when you were out in the world and doing the things. A lot of you didn't grow up in the message like some of us did. Some of you were out doing the things of the world. But when you heard that voice, or you heard the shout, you heard the message. Well, what was the message? The shout and the voice is pretty much the same. Okay? It's the same thing. But then when you come into the message, see, now we're hearing the voice, not just the voice of somebody speaking. We're hearing the voice of the resurrection.
Right.
Where we say there's no death in what we're talking to you about. Go to the denominations. They know one thing for sure. Under tradition, they're all going to die.
Right. Yeah.
And under tradition, they're all going to go to the white throne judgment.
Right.
And under tradition, they're going to a 7-year tribulation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Exactly right.
I said tradition.
That's
what they believe. But it never was spoke of in the Bible.
Right.
So it's a tradition. You and I do not live by tradition.
Right.
We live by the absolute perfect Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless your heart. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we're moving into another part of the service, Lord, to take communion. I pray now that what we've said will enter into the heart of the believer, Lord, and truly pull us up a little bit higher. Tell us who we already are, not what we're going to become, but what we already are. Because 2,000 years ago in Calvary, when you looked down on that body, you saw a redeemed bride. And now you've waited for 2,000 years to be able to look face to face with your bride. And Lord, I know you will. Lord, through the revealing of your word, that voice of the resurrection, it's absolutely now, it's resurrecting us, sitting us in heavenly places. But that same voice that called Lazarus from the grave will come forth through a bride with enough faith to bring the people that have been passed away for 2,000 years in the dust of the earth and in the ocean and all the different places that they passed away. And Lord, what great quickening power that's going to be. But it will happen because you've told us that it would. It will happen in our time here, Lord. It will happen under the anointing of this message of the hour. Lord, I pray that you would anoint us again for this journey. Keep anointing us over and over again, Lord. Let us not forget where we come from and what we're doing here and where we're going. Father, just be with the ones that are sick. Give them a touch now, Lord. If there be anybody sick here in the congregation, I pray right now that you would heal them, Father. Under the anointing of the word, Lord, I pray that you would touch them. Lord, absolutely, I pray that you forgive us of our sins, that we can take this communion with no hesitation, Lord. All the little things that we do in life that's not pleasing to you, the little human things, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, for not speaking better or studying more, Lord. I pray that you'd help us all to do that. Study more, pray more, be more attentive to you, Father. We pray that you'd be with us now in this furtherment of the service, this great communion that we're about to take. Lord, showing and symbolizing that one day we're going to literally sit down at a table.
Glory.
And you're going to, the literal flesh God is going to serve us this communion. Boy, what a day. What a time when we can sit there and not have to worry about working and life and all the different things. We can just have a joyous wedding supper with communion with you. And then knowing that that's just the beginning of our eternal destination. That's just the beginning that now we're going to come back to earth for a millennium. Then we're going to go into a future home that we're going to live there for an eternity. Father, grant these things, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Dale, God bless you. We'll be speaking on the voice a little more next Sunday. So, Lord bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.